The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. We're re-entering Matthew, which we had some of that before Lent, in between Christmas and Lent. So if you want to get the flavor of everything going on, read Matthew 9 and Matthew 10. So it helps us out an awful lot, because we're picking up right here at 9:36, because at the beginning of Matthew, you have the call of Matthew, the tax collector. So Jesus goes after Matthew, "Follow me, and hang out with these fishermen who hate you." And that's, I mean, really, it's what it is. It's what's going on. I mean, only God Almighty could put these people together, these apostles. So that's the setting. And the list of the apostles, the 12, we can read that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts chapter 1. You see the total list in those four selections. Peter's always first, and then Judas Iscariot's always last in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in Acts the Apostles, he's not there anymore because he's gone. So let's look at the gospel a little closer. The crowds were helpless and in need of a shepherd. And Christ is that shepherd. He recognizes that the laborers are few, and he chooses the few, the 12, to be his not only special disciples, but those who will be sent out apostles. He chose the 12 to fulfill the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus makes it clear that he came to bring the Father's design and call to holiness on Mount Sinai, which you heard in the first reading in Exodus 19, to bring all that to completion in Jesus. Exodus 19, they're at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai. Don't touch the mountain, it's a holy mountain. Moses will go up that mountain, Exodus 20, he'll get the Ten Commandments, it's the law, it's their life, it's the covenant. And now, Jesus brings a new covenant. So all of this is language of a covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ as he chooses these 12 apostles and he designates the church as the restored Israel. So Jesus will first send these apostles to preach to the lost sheep of Israel. And this reflects the order and direction of salvation history. As we heard in the first reading, God had adopted Israel as his own possession, his own children, his spouse, his bride, his love, and he loves them. And he gives them that covenant. So Israel received the message first. So on Mount Sinai, God chooses and sanctifies his people. And now Jesus commands his apostles to engage in a spiritual battle, and he gives them authority over unclean spirits and to heal every disease and infirmity, to bring it to the devil, to go out there and to proclaim the kingdom, the new covenant is coming. After Pentecost, the 12 proclaimed the good news. And along with this, they baptize, forgive sins, celebrate the Eucharist, which they call the breaking of the bread, and they shepherd the faithful. And when you do that, then the church comes into existence. It just happens. A church which is holy and Catholic must also be one and apostolic. So true Catholicity demands unity, and Catholic simply means universal. And we pray for the unity. And the holiness can only be rooted in an apostolic origin where the church is connected to Christ, the source of all grace. Our Lord had one heart, as we remembered on Friday, the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. One heart, human and divine, filled with love for God the Father and love for us. One heart that loved Lazarus, loved his mother, loved the apostles, loved them, had compassion on the crowds. And it's also the same love that is divine, intimately connected to the Father. This one heart, the soldier pierced with the lance, and the heart opened up, and it gives birth to the church. And this is the one church Jesus had already founded on Peter, which you will read in Matthew 16. We'll have that later on in the year. So it is sacred tradition rooted in the power and love of Christ Jesus. And the apostles lived through him and with him and in him all the time. As we hear that in the Mass, through him, with him, and in him, and you see the Eucharist. So it's through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, because the apostles brought Christ to us so that we could have life, so that we could have that love. They bring unity and holiness to the world, which we have in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which we profess in the Creed. I mean, this is the deposit of faith. The church is alive in the saving actions of Jesus through the apostles. Therefore, we must pray for our bishops, the successors of the apostles, that they may give a shepherd's care and tend the flock as God would have it, because the evil one prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to destroy. 1 Peter 5 is the great message of admonition of Peter to the elders, to the leaders, saying, be strong, be good shepherds, the evil one's on the prowl. And to us, the faithful, St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, we are no longer strangers and wanderers, because we are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. So we're not just wandering around anywhere without an identity, not knowing who we are, what we believe, and what this is all about. Rather, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and members of that holy church. And Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone. He is that source of grace. And the apostles brought Jesus to the world. And we have that. That's why apostolic succession is so critical. So important, even in the early church. First three centuries, they're like, how do we know that this is true? What do we know we are hearing? He says, is it in union with what the apostles taught? And when it is, we have an identity. We know who we are and what we believe. That Christ is with us through those saving actions of those apostles. And that we have life through that. And that's what guides us. And that's our identity. And we know who we are. And we profess that in our faith.